And good morning, everybody. It's good to have you all here, and we'll be diving into a very, very important topic. This comes up quite frequently. Why is it that God doesn't seem to answer some of our prayers? And he answers in lots of different ways. But today we're going to focus on three reasons why God's will is the best answer to our prayers and how his will operates. It's just very exciting. But before we begin, let's dive in with a very fervent prayer for God's inspiration. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We cherish you. We thank you. We worship you. We seek your will because that's what you've told us to seek, because it's so much better than anything that we can even imagine. And so God, we thank you for the privilege of coming together and being a part of your body, and that you are our head, and that we can worship you now here together. So we ask for your inspiration, and most of all, Father, that you will speak to each one of us exactly what you want us to hear, whether I'm saying it or not, because you can do anything, God. And we want everybody to hear what you want them to hear at this time. And so we thank you and ask this blessing on this time together in the wonderful name of your precious Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin in Psalm 19 because this is so inspiring. Sometimes it helps to get the big picture about what we're talking about. And it says here in Psalm chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And if you want to be awestruck, all you have to do is on a clear night, just go out and look at the stars, and then just look at the heavens, and then look at the clouds, and look at everything that we see everywhere we look. And it says here in verse 2, day after day, they pour forth speech. God's creation speaks for itself. And as God's word says, only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language. Their voice goes out into all the earth. There's no voice where that is not heard, because God's creation just shouts his glory to us. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun. Now, we go up into the mountains and pitch a tent, but God pitches a tent out in the universe and places the sun. What a perspective. Which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Many times when you're driving along and all of a sudden the sun comes into your eyes, and it's hard to believe that that's 93 million miles away. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And so we get to see in the morning the sunrise, and the sunrise with all those gorgeous colors, and then the sunset with even more gorgeous colors. We just need to get the picture of how absolutely amazing and awesome that God is. And the reason I bring that up is why, when God has done all this for us, he supplies all of our food, our everything that we have, he just gives it to us. Why would we even wonder whether we would want God's will to be done in our lives or not? That's just the question I would like to propose. And if you read chapter 20 and 21 and 22, what I'm really excited about is God just wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship. And we're going to read a quote here in a moment that'll knock your socks off, but it really lays the cards on the table, what God is really looking for when we pray. But if you really want to have a close relationship with God, I've been doing something here lately that I've tried to encourage many, many of us to do, and I'd like to encourage all of us to try this and just see if it is what really inspires you. But if you're having any difficulty praying, what I do is take five Psalms every day, five Psalms, and I just read those Psalms and make them my prayer. And that's how I begin my prayer life every morning. And it's really inspiring. And you can just change the words from what David is saying just to make it personal from you to God. And it's just astounding at how that will increase your worship and increase your prayer life, because those are beautiful, beautiful prayers, many of them from David, who is a man after God's own heart. and he can teach us how to pray from the heart. And it just glorifies God every step of the way. And what a beautiful way to worship. And if there's anything God tells us to do, he says to worship him, fear God, or have awe or praise or worship for God. And there's two things that God really, really wants us to do. And that is to have worship and wisdom. Worship and wisdom go together. Because wisdom, he says in Proverbs 4 and verse 7, he says, whatever you do, get wisdom. If it's the last thing you do, you have to give everything you've got. Go for wisdom. So this worship and wisdom is described right here when we pray. These are the things we need to be asking for. Now, I'd like to read this quote. This is from Bible Tools, and it was so profound. It just nails it. God's will, which is what we need to be praying, because God tells us in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, he says, your will be done. That should be every one of our prayers. Our prayers should be, say, God, I want your will to be done. And I want to wrap my mind around what your will is, because your will is perfect. And I didn't finish that Psalm 19, but it just talks about how God's will is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. Why would we not want the perfect answer to every prayer we pray? That's what he wants to give us, is the perfect answer. But before we get into this, I'd like to read this quote. God's will for our lives has reason and purpose. It is through scripture where we can find meaning and principles discerning God's will. If you are interested in knowing God's plan for your life, then you must learn to walk with God. Remember, Enoch walked with God, David walked with God, Abraham walked with God. It's called a relationship. And we'll see, as it says here, you need to develop a relationship with him. That's walking with God. Christianity is all about a relationship and spiritual connection rather than just religion. You will cultivate that relationship best by spending time in his word. In other words, listening. So many people never listen to the other person who wants to talk. They just want to talk, 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 talk. Well, God wants us to listen to him. He doesn't want us just to be talking. He wants us to be reading his word so we can listen to him. Taking time for prayer and taking every opportunity you can to be involved in church and small group Bible study opportunities. When you seek these disciplines in your life, God will begin the first steps to revealing his plan to you. Now listen to this. Many times when we say we are seeking God's will, what we're really wanting to say to God is this. Okay, God, here's what I'm planning to do. Now I need you to rubber stamp this. All right. I must tell you that this is not really effective in finding his true will. Before God will begin to reveal his will to you, you must be committed to doing whatever it is that he desires for you to do. And God will likely be slow to show you his plan if he knows you will likely not do that plan anyway. So very important information to make sure that we let God know we want his will in our lives, because his will is much better for us than anything that we can conjure up. So as we begin, we need to understand that three things. Before we get into the three reasons why God's will is the best answer to our prayers, there are three answers that God will choose, one of these three answers to every prayer we pray. One is yes, which is most often if you know what to look for after you read God's history book, the Bible, because God gives us answers and he gives us the answers that we need. And if it's going to be in your best interest for your eternal well-being and spiritual growth, and including those who are around us, because when God answers a prayer, he wants to make sure that is in not just your best interest, but the interest of those who are around you. Sometimes he may do something that you say, oh, what was that all about? And it was for the benefit of somebody that knows you really, really well, so that they can see your reaction in the midst of a trial or difficulty that you're going through and say, boy, how does she or he do that? And God uses us for his glory. And when he does that, he blesses you beyond your imagination. God never takes anything from us that he doesn't give you back 10 times more, because that's just the nature of our God. The second answer is no, which is far less often if you know what to look for after reading God's history book, the Bible, and if it is not going to be in the best interest for your eternal well-being and spiritual growth, including those that we're praying for. You see, because God knows the hearts of every single human being, and he wants to make sure that they are being fed the truth. And Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the third answer, if God doesn't say yes to your prayer, or if he doesn't say no, then he will definitely say the third answer, and that is wait a while. Because God always has perfect timing for everything. God says a day is with him like 1,000 years. So timing is a whole different ballgame. Abraham had to wait 100 years, or till he was 100 years old, for the son that God promised him. And we may have to wait a while, but during the process, God is working in our lives, producing patience, meekness, humility, self-control, all those things that are critical for our character when we're reigning with him forever and ever. All right, so now let's take a look at reason number one that I'd like to share with you. And it's in Isaiah 55, verses 8-9. And it's, God's will for us is infinitely better than our own will. And if we pray, God, I want this and I want that, say, but in case you wonder what we're actually saying, when we conclude our prayer, we say in Jesus' name. That simply means, God, I want your will. In your name means according to what you want, Lord. And that's why it's so important. But sometimes you hear a prayer and they don't even say in Jesus' name. So don't miss out on the will of God, because God might just say no if we're not seeking his will and asking this in his name. The only access we have to God the Father is through Jesus. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name, so that we can be in accordance with his will. So reason number one that God's will is for us is infinitely better than our own is in Isaiah 55, verses 8-9. And he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways better than your ways. And that is hard to wrap your mind around. As high as the heavens are above the earth. I mean, just to get to the sun, which is the closest star in the whole universe, is 93 million miles away, and sometimes further than that. And God says that as high as the heavens, that's even the stars that are far beyond that. His will and his way is so much better than our ways that is the comparison that he uses. So for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways better than your ways. So it should be a no-brainer to us to be just saying, God, I trust you. I want your will for my life. Your will is so much better. And you've commanded me to pray for one another. So we do pray one for another that we might be healed. He commands us to do that. And that's one of the many reasons why we do pray. But I just like to ask, are there any personal stories? If somebody has a personal story about how you have learned this lesson, because I know I personally, I'll just share a lesson that I learned. And then if somebody has a lesson that you'd like to share, we'd love to hear that. I read in Genesis 13, verse 2, it says, Abram had become very wealthy with livestock, silver and gold. And I thought to myself, this was a little over 20 years ago. And I thought to myself, what's wrong with being wealthy? So after asking God for that, guess what? Out of nowhere something I did not expect any more than a hole in the head, I got an inheritance for $400,000. I just blew my socks off. I'd never seen that much money in personally, as far as having access to that. But the thing is, sometimes God answers our prayer and says yes so that he can teach us a lesson. because one of the things he tells us in the Proverbs, he says, wisdom is better than silver and gold. It's more valuable. Seek wisdom because it's more priceless than all the gold in the world and all the silver. In fact, what the world tends to seek, especially on the stock market and everything else, is billionaires and trillion. Actually, they have a couple of trillionaires now, which is hard to even wrap your mind around. But these individuals have so much wealth and so on, it's just hard to even comprehend. You see, God allows people to have those kind of things, but it doesn't bring the real happiness. And I had to learn that the hard way, because I got caught up in that for about a year. And that's all that was important to me. I just said, wow. And I deceived myself like human nature can do, because human nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I thought, you know, after having that fourth 100,000, I got it up to over 1 million. And I said, wow, this is fantastic. We can make 10 million and we can build a church. But anyway, I just remember that God taught me a very, very important lesson at that time, and that money is not what brings happiness, because God took it all away and we ended up having to have the biggest trial of my life personally. And thankfully, my wife was beside me and she was very comforting and encouraging, but it was a nightmare going through what we ended up going through. And I just thank God that he uses these trials and situations and teaches us lessons that will be priceless for the rest of our lives. And I just thank God for that. You see, God's will is infinitely better than our own will, because I didn't see some things back 25 years ago that I see clearly today. And that is, God's word says, I will build my church. He doesn't need me to build his church. God's word says another scripture, it says, no man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draws him. It's so easy to get caught up in what we think is God's will unless we ask God, what is your will? And then you start reading his word and studying his word, and then little by little, you will begin to know what God's will is. That's why I love reading those five chapters every day in Psalms. If you start out on the first day of the month and read five chapters on the first day and then five chapters on the second day, every month you will have gone through the book of Psalms. It will increase your worship. For me, it went 100-fold, because every day I have an opportunity to just praise God in a different way with different perspectives, but it's all focusing on the will of God and understanding the things that went through David's mind and his close friend there, Asaph, who wrote many of those Psalms, but they are just priceless. And if you take advantage of that, the word of God will become your prayers, and it can be priceless for you. And then if you want that wisdom, like God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, whatever you do, seek wisdom, because that is the will of God. If you want to know what God's will is, he says, whatever you do, if it costs you everything you have, get wisdom. Well, what do you think is in the book of Proverbs? It's 31 chapters of jam-packed with wisdom. If you want to know what God's will is, he wants you to have wisdom. Just read one chapter every day in Proverbs, along with the Psalms. That way you've got the worship and the wisdom together, which is the will of God. It is God's will to worship God. He says all through the Bible is fear not. Worship God. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. There's well over 100. It could be up to 300. I don't remember the exact number where God says, don't worry. Worry is the opposite of faith. Faith is relationship with God. It's worshiping God. It's getting your eyes focused on the will of God and what God's word says. And if you read about Abraham, why he was blessed so abundantly, is it's in Genesis 13, verse 2, that Abraham obeyed God's voice. See, that's what God is looking for. He wants individuals who are obedient. Genesis 26:5. God used Abraham and promised him blessings. He says, you'll be, the whole world is going to be blessed because of your obedience. And do you think God loves Abraham any more than he loves you? God is no respecter of persons. When we begin to obey God from the heart by reading his word and feeding on his word every day, worshiping God, praising God, thanking God, asking for wisdom, seeking wisdom, which is God. God is wisdom. He is the source of all wisdom. And he spells out what wisdom is right there in them, those Proverbs. And one a day, one chapter in Proverbs every day, you'll have covered the entire book of Proverbs every month of every year. And that way, after 1 year has gone by, you will have read the book of Psalms 12 times, and you will have read the book of Proverbs 12 times each year. And you are going to see a transformation in your life so that you will be seeking God's will more than anything you could ever imagine. And that's just the beginning. Then once that gets started in worship through the Psalms, then you can launch into the rest of your Bible study, and you will find that the Word of God is going to become alive like you never thought possible. Because God sees that you are seeking his will above everything else, and he will pour out his spiritual blessings upon you beyond comprehension. So now let's take a look at the second reason. This is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, and it, the second reason that we need to seek God's will is, faith and believing and trusting is God in God is critical. God tells us in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to please God, we must have faith. And your faith and my faith is not what that's going to, if I can use the term, cut the mustard. Because our faith begins to falter from time to time. But the faith of Christ is what God gives us through the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are God's love, which is agape love, whereas human love is just philia or friendship. But God's love, God's joy, God's patience, gentleness, faith, meekness, humility, self-control. But if we want to have God's faith, we have to ask God for it. And he will give you his faith. And his faith never falters. His faith is perfect. And that's what we need to ask for, is his perfect faith, his perfect love, his perfect joy. So that when you have God's perfect joy, you don't worry about anything. You don't have to worry, because he says, fear not. I got this. He'll take care of things. You just obey God. Make sure you're doing your part. Faith without works is dead. You've got to do the works God commands you to do in his word. And if you end up getting in trouble, read in the word and you'll find out there's some things in there that you say, oh, I didn't see that. So we got to wake up and smell the roses and see what we need to change. But that's called life. But that's why Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it to you. Because God gives us his faith. And if we use his faith instead of ours, you'll be blessed beyond comprehension. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And that's faith and trust. God doesn't doubt. He knows the truth. The truth will set you free. When you've got God's will as your focus and you ask for his faith, which is his will, because your faith and your love is inadequate. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And human nature is the wisdom of this world. Human nature comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what Satan is doing. He's putting these thoughts into our mind. Well, you can do this and you can do that. Just like the serpent said in the Garden of Eden up in that tree. And he was talking to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sucked right up to him. And you and I can suck right up to our own will, because that's what Satan was appealing to, saying, oh, you can become like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And you know what? Satan used a little bit of truth in order to deceive Adam and Eve. And he can use a little bit of truth to deceive you and me also, trying to get us to want our will to be done and try to convince us that that is God's will. That's what I was doing. Well, I can build a church if I have $10 million. That's not about God. That's about me. And we need to know the difference between what God's will is, what our will is, because Satan will kind of, he will deliberately try to deceive us and say, this will be awesome. You will be so well known. Well, it's not about being well known. It's about God being well known. When we glorify God, God gives us everything because he wants to use you for eternity. As his body, he's going to be our head. We're going to be a part of that first resurrection. And we'll be caught up together with him as his body and be joined together with him in marriage. And we'll be with him everywhere he goes because he will inhabit us and we'll inhabit him and we'll be spirit beings and no longer have any pain, sorrow, suffering, or death. What a phenomenal picture of what God has in store for us in the future. But he has to trust us that we're going to be seeking his will and not our own, because he can't have another devil on his hands, individual who he gives eternal life to, and then have them go off the deep end saying, well, look at me, I got a good idea, and then go off on your own doing your own thing, and now you've got eternal life to go with it. That's why God had to put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. He said, you can eat of any of the trees in this garden that you want. Just don't touch that one tree that represented human nature, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan said, well, you'll become like God. It just sounded so good. You'll be like God. Well, I want to be like God, and I'm sure God would want me to be like God. The catch was, God said, don't do that. Don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what God had to do, God had to put them out of the Garden of Eden, lest, as it says in Genesis, lest they partake of the tree of life and live forever. And then having to live forever like Satan in sin, God doesn't want that. So he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, and they had to learn their lesson the hard way. But the easy way to learn is having Jesus live his life in us, and that way we can live a perfect life. Does that mean you're not going to make mistakes? Of course not. But thankfully, when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, he says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's the will of God for you. He wants to give you his righteousness so that you can approach the very throne of God in heaven, and he is going to welcome you with open arms every time you pray, and that should be without ceasing. That's here and now in this life, plus eternal life in the world to come. So this is what God is looking for. He's looking for individuals who have his faith, that believe and trust in him. This is critical, because God can't give us eternal life and we become a part of his body if we're off doing our own thing. That ain't going to work. We've got to be seeking the will of God, and his will is perfect. And when we are in sync with the will of God, then all of our prayers are going to be answered every time, because we know he is going to be the author of the answers. In fact, what's interesting is there are 99 references in the New Testament alone of the importance of faith to God. 99 references on the importance of faith, and that's just in the New Testament alone. So that's kind of pretty important. That's why he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And now for the final reason, although there's thousands of reasons, I've just picked out three of them. But what we need to understand is God is teaching us something very important. When we're going through something, we have to learn some lessons. Sometimes we need to learn how to have God's joy. Because joy, God doesn't want somebody that is a miserable person all the time and going around dragging his knuckles and feeling like a penny waiting for change. God says you need to love your neighbor as you do yourself. God wants you to love yourself because Jesus is in you and he is our love. And so if we're always going around putting ourselves down, that's not healthy. We need to be lifting God up rather than putting ourselves down. We can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt us in due time, but we need to have a respect for who God has made us to be. We are children of God, the future bride of Jesus Christ. And what an honor, privilege, blessing to even wrap our minds around that. But that's exactly what God was doing with Adam and Eve. He was teaching them a lesson. They had to learn a lesson. And what's interesting is I always wondered, well, you know, if God really wanted a perfect world, why in the blazes did he put Satan in this perfect Garden of Eden? Well, it became pretty obvious that he wanted us as human beings to have to make a choice. Are we going to seek God's will? Are we going to seek our own will? Are we going to look at something that's really juicy, like that fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and deceive ourselves and convince ourselves that that is the will of God? And that's what's so easy to do. If we don't ask God, I want your will. Show me what your will is. Make it clear to me, because sometimes I'm thick-headed. Just be blunt, straight out with God. Just say, God, please show me what your will is in this situation. I want to fulfill your will. Show me in your word. Help me to see what it is. God says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And so ask God and ask his bride, have those who you have high respect for that are obedient to God. That's one of the many ways that we can find out what God's will is, but make sure that it is in sync with Scripture, because Scripture is the word of God, and that's what you can count on. Don't believe what human beings say unless it is always in sync with Scripture. And that's why we need to be studying all the time, so that we will know what is in Scripture and whether what we're being told is truly scriptural or not. That's why the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, Paul said, because the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily whether these things that they were being taught by the preacher was true or not. And that's why you'll see we read Scriptures a lot, because Scripture is the truth. Opinion is not. So Adam and Eve had to learn this lesson the hard way, and many times we have to, but in the process, we can just thank God that he's teaching us and just ask God to open our eyes to see the truth so that the truth will set us free. David prayed that in Psalm 51. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a beautiful prayer to pray. Just pray Psalm 51. That's another reason why David was a man after God's own heart. He knew how to repent. Repent simply means to change. To change, to get in sync with the will of God. The will of God is clearly spelled out in the word of God. We just need to rightly divide the word of God to know what that truth is. And so God's word is priceless. It's available to us. But God's will, we need to seek his will above everything else. Because when we seek God's will, God will do things for you that you never, ever, ever thought he could do. And you might think God can't use you because you're imperfect or you've made this mistake and that mistake. Well, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was out killing Christians. He was a scumbag when you come. He was in the eyes of the world, he was way up there. But when you're out killing people, God pulled him out of the dregs and he turned him into an apostle that wrote half of the New Testament. So anytime we think God can't use somebody, think of the Apostle Paul and how God knocked him down, blinded him, woke him up, dragged him over to Ananias, who prayed for him, and God healed him and gave him his eyesight back. But he left just enough weakness there so that he had that thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, so that he wouldn't get all puffed up about how God was using him powerfully to write half of the New Testament. So God knows what he's doing. God's will is perfect, And sometimes God allows things to happen to us in order to use us powerfully to preach the gospel in ways that we never thought God could ever preach the gospel. And he may do that just through you and how God works in your life. These are just marvelous things that we can meditate on and think about and pray about. So let's just conclude with prayer and just thank God for giving us the privilege of seeking his will and having such an awesome God who's going to always do what is going to be in our best interest every time. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this gift of prayer, that we can come to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who wiped out all of our sins so that our sins would never be held against us, and that your grace is sufficient for us, that we can be blessed beyond our wildest dreams, that we can be a part of this first resurrection, which is the better resurrection, simply because Jesus is living in us, and that we have his Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us in all that we do. Being a Christian is the most magnificent privilege anybody could ever be given. And God, you tell us plainly, don't blow it. Don't miss out. Don't be one of those five foolish virgins that didn't keep oil in their lamp and they lost out on that first resurrection. God, we want to be those wise virgins that are reading your word, reading your proverbs, reading your psalms, and praying to you day in and day out all the time, so that we can be with you forever and ever. And so, God, we just want you to know, fill us with more of you so that we can seek your will above anything else, so that we can be just like you forever. And we praise you and thank you and ask this in the name of your precious Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.